The following is a sermon that was preached at Good News Lutheran Church in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. It was preached on Sunday, October 10th, 2021, on the basis of Mark 10, verses 17 through 27. For more information or to view our entire sermon library, visit goodnewslc.org. Thank you for listening.
Have you been taking part in the do-it-yourself revolution? In the age of the internet, where you can learn anything and everything from a website or a video online, more and more people are taking building projects into their own hands rather than hiring someone to do it for them. It makes sense. It could be cheaper, it could be done quicker, and maybe even better. And the bonus is you get a deep sense of satisfaction at a job well done. If you have the right tools, the right knowledge, and a little bit of determination, you have the makings of a successful do-it-yourself home project. But if you don't, disaster awaits. A man buys the house of his dreams. It's everything he wanted, except it's missing one thing. It doesn't have a porch. So naturally, the man decides to build it himself. He spends weeks gathering the materials, making the plans, and finally building his porch. He steps back and he admires his work, but he's only forgotten one thing. He's forgotten to set the foundation correctly. Over the next few years, he'll watch as his dream porch slowly sinks into the ground. A couple has been watching a lot of home renovation television. They look around their house and they begin to realize that it's a little outdated. It feels a little stuffy. They notice a wall in their living room that could be taken out, so they decide to do it themselves. The only problem is, it's a load-bearing wall. Their living room is now a lot more open, but they have a new problem. Their house is going to begin to sag. For these people, their do-it-themselves attitudes led to disasters. Today we're examining the Lutheran stand on faith alone. In a world that's all about doing it yourself, it's tempting to think that you can do the same for spiritual matters. If you're a good person, if you do the right things, if you're nice to other people, if you work hard, then maybe God will let you into heaven. But today, Jesus makes it clear that it's impossible. In fact, any of your attempts to do it on your own are destined to end in disaster. But there is another way. Another way which makes the impossible possible, by faith. The man was a good man. He was the model citizen. He was a great father, a wonderful husband. He had done everything right, and he had everything he could have possibly wanted. A wonderful wife, a beautiful family. He had a well-paying job, a respected job, and an important job. People looked up to him. He was involved in the community. He was even the president of his church. He had everything. And on top of all that, he was still young. Few people his age could brag that they had accomplished the same things. But even though he appeared to have everything, the man was uncertain. There was this gnawing in his heart, this hole in his heart. He was a good person. He did the right things. He went to church. He read his Bible. He was good to his neighbors, good to his wife and his kids. But he had this recurring nightmare. In his dreams, the man would wake up to find that he was at the gates of heaven, and the angel at the door would not let him in because he still had not done enough. This thought tugged at his heart. But one day he heard that a wise spiritual teacher had come to town, and he wondered if this man had the one piece of the puzzle that he was missing, if he knew what he could do to put him over the top, to finally please God. So he went into town and he found the man walking with his disciples. So he ran and he fell to his knees before him and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus smiled at the man. And he said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. So if you want to be good, if you want to have eternal life, do what God commands. Don't murder. Love your parents. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't defraud or cheat your neighbor. The man doesn't hesitate. He says, I've kept all of these commandments my whole life, Jesus. Jesus looks at the man and he loves him. In an instant, he knows everything about the man. He sees his hopes, his dreams, his fears, and his restless heart. He sees his desperation to be loved and accepted by God. And there, in the man's heart, Jesus sees the man's weakness. The man thought that he had kept many of the commandments, but he had forgotten the first commandment, to love God more than anything else in the world. Jesus' next words will cut the man straight to the heart. But they're words spoken out of love. The man needed to see how imperfect and broken he really was. Jesus turned to the man and he said, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the man heard this, he was crushed. His face became dark. Give away everything he had earned from his life, his friends, his influence, his money, everything. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do what God had asked, and so he went away sad. The way the man was thinking made sense. We live in a world that's all about pleasing people. That's the way business works, right? A new restaurant opens up in town. People flock to try their food. If it's good, people will come back. They'll stay in business. If it's bad, they'll be out of business. That's the way our jobs work. We go to work and we please our bosses, and at the end of the week, our bosses please us with a paycheck. It's the way our relationships and friendships work. A boy likes a girl. He buys her flowers and chocolates. He takes her out on dates. Maybe he even gives her his heart. But if she doesn't invest in the relationship, if she doesn't also give him a piece of hers, it'll never go anywhere. We live in a transactional world. What you give is what you'll get out. And it makes sense that the same would apply to spiritual matters. If you're a good person, if you do good things, God will give you good things. He'll let you into heaven. And if you do bad things, God will punish you. He'll send you to hell. So God becomes another person on the list to please. To please God, you'll do what he commands. You'll love your parents. You won't murder. You won't sleep around like other people. You won't steal. You won't cheat or defraud your neighbor. You'll do your best not to tell lies. But you're not perfect. No one is. Sometimes you'll say things that you'll regret. Maybe you'll do things that you know that you shouldn't. But you're only human. No one is perfect. No one is perfect except God. You can hear Jesus' words ringing in your ears. Only God is good. Throughout the Bible, we hear over and over again, God is perfect. God is holy. And perfection demands perfection. To stand in the presence of God, you can't be kind of good, sort of good, mostly good. You have to be always good. You have to be perfect like God is perfect. Jesus' words are like a surgeon's scalpel. They cut us open and reveal who we really are. You say you haven't murdered anyone. Jesus says, anyone who hates their brother is a murderer. You say you haven't cheated on your spouse. Jesus says anyone who looks at another person lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart. You say you haven't stolen anything. God says don't even be jealous or envious of what another person has. And then God comes to the first commandment. Have you loved your God always with all of your heart more than anything else in this world? More than your children, more than your spouse, more than your work, more than your relationships and social life. Jesus cuts you open and he shows who you really are. You may have the world fooled, but he knows what's inside. These words of Jesus sting, they hurt, but they're spoken out of love. Because before you can enter heaven, you need to see just how broken and imperfect you are. And that's something that the man failed to see. As the man turned and walked away, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were surprised. In Jesus' day, the rich were seen as the good people. They were the ones that everyone wanted to be like. They were the ones who took care of the poor, who gave huge offerings to church, who had done everything right, and God had blessed them. In their minds, this man would have been the first person into heaven. But Jesus went even further. He says, "How hard it is, children, to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed. They turn to each other and wonder, "So it's impossible? Who then can be saved if not this man?" Then Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The disciples were struggling to see what Jesus meant. Here was a man who had done everything. He was the best the world could offer, and yet he could not enter heaven. Jesus made it clear it was impossible. It doesn't matter what you do. You could give millions, no billions, to charity. You could spend the rest of your life serving the poor and feeding the hungry, but that won't move the needle, not if perfection is what God demands. So what is there left for you to do? That's a question that a man hundreds of years ago asked himself as well. He came from an ambitious family. They had great hopes and dreams for him. He had a future of success out ahead of him. But he was caught on this one question: what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? So he tried his best to please God. He even did what the rich man could not. He sold everything he had and became a monk. He studied to become a priest. He did everything right. He went to church 3 times a day. He confessed his sins to the priest as many times as he could. He went to serve the poor. He spent hours studying the Bible and praying. But none of that filled his heart. None of that moved the needle for him. He felt no closer to God, no more sure of his salvation. And so he became angry with God, tormented by this thought: why would God put this burden of perfection on him? Why would God ask what he knew he could not give? One day, as the man was reading his Bible, he came across a verse that changed everything for him. In the book of Romans, he came across this short verse: "The righteous shall live by faith." By faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promises of God. In the promise that he has taken salvation out of your hands and into his own. Because he loves you. Because God isn't a demanding customer, or the boss that you're trying to please, or the boy or the girl that you're trying to convince to like you. He doesn't need you to prove your goodness or that you're worthy of his love. Instead, he's already loved you. He takes the burden off of your shoulders and puts it onto his. Jesus says to you, "You can't do this, but I can." He takes off his robes and his heavenly glory. He sets it aside. He sells his very own life to give you treasure in heaven, to open the doors of heaven for you. You can trust him. A young boy, the age of 3, once asked his dad to take him hiking. But he didn't just want to go anywhere. He wanted to go and climb the small mountain in their local state park. The father knew the trail well. He knew how steep it was, how big the rocks were. He knew that it was a hard trail. It would have taken him even 2 hours to climb. He knew the boy couldn't do it, and so he offered to carry him. But the boy was insistent. He wanted to climb this mountain on his own. So father and son, they went to the state park. They went to the trailhead, and the boy started climbing. He climbed over some rocks and roots. He felt like he was making pretty good progress. After about half an hour, the boy looked up and he saw that the end of the trail, the top of the mountain, was just as far as it was when he had started. He looked back. He had only covered a few hundred feet. In frustration and exhaustion, he started crying and he called for his father. In an instant, his dad was there. He picked him up and took him up in his arms. The boy, exhausted from crying and climbing, fell asleep in his arms. A few moments later, he woke up again, but this time in a very different place. There were no rocks or trees around him. Instead, as he looked around him, all he could see was the state park below him. The boy shouted with joy, taking in the marvelous view. He was awestruck. After a few minutes of celebration, he came back and he threw his arms around his father. "Thank you." He knew what his dad had done. He had carried him up the mountain. It's foolish to think that a small child can climb a mountain on his own. It's foolish to think that you can finish a do-it-yourself project without the right tools or the right knowledge. It's foolish to think that you can give God what he demands, perfection. But by faith, you trust in the promises of God. By faith, you trust that he has opened heaven's doors open to you, that he has carried you up the mountain, that by faith he has done the impossible. He has brought you home to heaven. Because in Jesus, God makes the impossible possible. Amen.